طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا ورزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا ورزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا everybody and welcome to day two of our حلقة series Be Mindful of Allah, an explanation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's advice to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma from the book Nur al-Iqtibas. Nur al-Iqtibas. طيب. So last week, alhamdulillah, we kind of went into the introduction of the book and the hadith. Today, bi-idhnillah, we want to go into the main text. Okay, we want to cover probably one or two sentences of the hadith, bi-idhnillah, about being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, next week we will cover some more of the text, and this should take us about 5 more weeks, inshallah. So today's agenda, inshallah, we'll do some review quickly. We'll start talking about the beginning of the hadith about being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? What does that entail? We'll talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. And then also we'll talk about what does it mean to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you on your side. طيب. So let's start with some review. By the way, who was here last week? Who was here last week? طيب. So now I know who to ask. طيب, so number one, name a benefit from seeking knowledge. Yesterday we mentioned three benefits of seeking knowledge. Who can mention one of them? Inshallah, this is gonna bring back all the information so we don't forget it. We mentioned three benefits of seeking knowledge. Can you name one of them? Huh? Like, why did you come here? Naam, tafaddal. Naam, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we didn't actually mention that, but that's true. In Surah Al-Mujadala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Yes, that's one of them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of those who seek knowledge. طيب, جميل. Anybody remember another one? Remember the one that we said when the people come and they seek knowledge, and then when they're about to leave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, قوموا مغفور لكم قد بدلت سيئاتكم حسنات. يعني all your sins are changed into good deeds. SubhanAllah, that's like one of the greatest benefits. So we said that the best of us is the one who comes here with the most sins, and then he's going to leave with what? With the most good deeds. طيب, جميل. These are good because يعني it's there to motivate us. نعم. طيب. Second question, what is the name of the book we are studying? Huh? I mentioned it like 2 seconds ago. What is the book called? Starts with Noor. Huh? نور الاقتباس, أحسنت. So نور الاقتباس في مشكاتي وصية النبي لابن عباس. Okay. نور الاقتباس, inshallah, we're going to go through it. Who is the author? Who remembers? Right, we're studying a book. It's good to know the book and the author. Ibn Abbas is the narrator. أحسنت. Ibn Abbas. Or Ra. Ibn what? Ibn Rajab. Now, so Ibn Rajab author book Nur al-Iqtibas. طيب, جميل. What is the name of the narrator of the hadith? The brother just mentioned it, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we talked about him last week. By the way, alhamdulillah, these are being broadcasted and they are recorded, and so if you miss something and you want to review it, it's available on our YouTube channel, so you can always go back and review this one and all the other halaqat in all our locations. Wallah alhamdulillah. طيب, the last question, what is lesson we learned from the first few words of the hadith? So last week we covered that the Ibn Abbas was saying that I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said to me, "O young man, shall I teach you some words that will benefit you?" That's where we stopped. What are some of the benefits that we extracted from those few words, the introduction of the hadith? Who could tell me a benefit that we extracted? We mentioned that Ibn Abbas was riding with the Prophet ﷺ. He was a young man. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said to him these words before giving him the actual advice. So what are some of the benefits we took last time? Naam, getting his attention. So the Prophet ﷺ, you know, they're riding on an animal and the young man is looking around. So he doesn't want to just talk to himself. He wants to get his attention, right? And this is a technique used with your children, especially the young ones, right? Because Ibn Abbas was 10 years old, 11 years old. Yeah, you tell them, hey, can I tell you, you want me to tell you a secret? So they'll listen now, khalas, their ears are open. So the Prophet ﷺ used that technique. He says, shall I tell you something that will benefit you? Right? And so Ibn Abbas, now he's paying attention. What's another benefit we took from this one? Ahsant. So to seek those one-on-one chances with your child to educate. So Ibn Abbas, the Prophet ﷺ is not even his son, يعني, it's his cousin. And so he took, they could have just sat on the animal and, you know, just talked about different things or just, you know, daydreamed. But the Prophet ﷺ knew that this was like an intimate one-on-one time. So he took advantage of it to give him advice. And we said the alternative for us would be what? Like when you're in a car with your child coming back from school or something or from shopping, or you take that time to talk to them. طيب, جميل جدا. Let's get into it. So we mentioned last time that I had this on the presentation last time, but we didn't have the screen, so I just wanted to kind of show it to you. So the book is Nur al-Iqtibas. There's one translation that, this is the one that I went through it. It's pretty good. Be Mindful of Allah by Shu'aib Shah. There's another translation that's available on PDF. The Legacy of the Prophet ﷺ by Abu Rumaysa. So these are both translations of the Arabic book. And the actual Arabic text is this one. Nur al-Iqtibas fi Mishkati Wasiyat al-Nabi ibn Abbas. And this one has a tahqiq, yani the author actually went through all the hadith and wrote down which ones are strong, which ones are weak, and so on. طيب. And for those of you who actually go through the book and through some of the classical books, something important to note is that a lot of them used a lot of weak hadith. They will use weak hadith sometimes, and sometimes you'll find like maybe 40% of them, okay, are weak hadith. And so the person might look at it and be like, okay, what's this? Yani? There's no benefit from this. But when you go into the science of hadith, an important rule is that it is allowed to use weak hadith in virtues, when you talk about virtues. Okay? But you're not allowed to use them in like ahkam, rulings, and you're not allowed to use them in like an aqidah, you know, core beliefs of the deen. But when it comes to virtues, which what we are talking about, the ulama will use them as extra proof, right? Right? Because a weak hadith, it might be from the Prophet ﷺ, but because there's a problem with the hadith, from the matin or from the narrators, right? It would be considered a weak hadith. طيب. Let's quickly go through the hadith. Again, so inshallah we're reminded of what hadith we're talking about. So Ibn Abdullah, he says, كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله أنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. So one day I was riding with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said to me, oh young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. So this is what we covered last week. Today inshallah we'll be covering, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. Up to there, inshallah, we'll be covering. The rest of the hadith, inshallah, the next helps, seek help in Allah. Know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with they would not benefit you with anything except that which Allah has already recorded for you. And if they gather to harm you by something, they would not be able to harm you by anything except what Allah has already recorded against you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. And the second narration we should go through that has additional wordings is, احفظ الله تجد هو أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرى. Be mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you. Become beloved to Allah during times of prosperity, he will know you in times of adversity. Know that what has passed you by was never to befall you. And know that what has befallen you was never to have passed you by. And know that victory accompanies perseverance, relief accompanies affliction, and ease accompanies hardship. And I know this is a bit repetitive, but I want to always mention these hadith so we have it in mind when we are going through the explanation of it. So we start now, the Prophet ﷺ, Ibn Abbas told us that he was riding with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ says, oh young man, I want to give you some words of advice. Okay, so we start now with the first one. He said to him what? احفظ الله. احفظ الله. طيب. For those of you who have some understanding of Arabic, what do you understand when it says احفظ? احفظ. This is a فعل أمر. It's a verb in the command form. What does it mean when I say احفظ? Or when someone says احفظ? نعم تفضل. يا بالعربية تفضل.
كما نقول
Jameel, so what do we call someone who's memorized the Quran? We call him a hafiz. Yes. So from the meanings of hifz is to hold on to something. The hafiz is the one who has hifz of the Quran. يعني he holds on to it and remembers it, right? يعني he keeps it close to him and طيب. What else? احفظ. One of the names of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is what? Al-Hafiz, which means what? The protector, right? So one of the meanings of hifz is what? Is protection, right? So what's the question that a person would ask now? It says احفظ الله. يعني if you translate it, it means what? Protect or guard or safeguard Allah. طيب, does that make sense to you when I say to you protect Allah or safeguard Allah? نعم. أحسنت. احفظ حدود الله. So in Arabic you're allowed to do that. In Arabic, sometimes you can what they call is حذف, right? حذف المضاف أو حذف جملة, right? You can kind of hide a jumla, not show it because it's understood, right? And you'll find it in the Quran actually many times, and it has different reasons for it that you study. So here, احفظ, we see that احفظ الله means احفظ حدود الله. Okay, so one of the meanings we get is احفظ حدود الله. الحدود are the limits. Okay, so it's understood. Just like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن تنصر الله ينصركم. What does it mean here, إن تنصر الله? يعني if you help or give victory to Allah. طيب, does Allah need your help or victory? No. So it doesn't literally mean إن تنصر الله, right? Victory. Right? So the same thing here. So احفظها, it means you could either say احفظ حدود الله or احفظ الله في حدوده. Right? So what it means is be mindful. So the author of the books that were translated, and also another book that I refer to a lot is the Explanation by Sheikh Jamal Zarabozo, which is an excellent sharh of the 40 Nawa hadith, because this is one of the 40 hadith that were mentioned in that book. So he used the word be mindful, and that's the title of this halaqa. So another way you can understand it is be mindful. What does it mean be mindful? Yani be mindful of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you hear the word احفظ, or the phrase احفظ الله, what does it mean here? It basically means to take care of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his prohibitions. That's what it means when it says احفظ الله. احفظ الله. طيب, جميل. How do you do that? Through three things. Okay? So number one is by following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says pray, you pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fast, you fast. Right? Allah by avoiding his prohibitions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says stay away from riba, you stay away from riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says stay away from zina, you stay away from zina. Okay, so this is all goes into hifdhullah, okay? To preserve the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing that people tend to forget is to stay away from the gray areas. What do I mean by that? Ash-shubuhat, ahsant. And we get this from the hadith in another hadith Nawawi, I believe it's hadith number 6, where the Prophet ﷺ says, "Al-halal ubayyin wal haram ubayyin." Yeah, that halal is very clear in the deen, right? And the haram is very clear. طيب, there's something in the middle. وَبَيْنَهُمُ أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتِ or متشابهات, another narration. And between them, there are things that are doubtful. Yeah, or they're kind of a gray area, okay? And then the hadith goes on to say, so whoever stays away from this gray area, then he has what? What does he get? He has protected his deen. Yeah? And then whoever goes into these gray areas, then what? Eventually he will what? He will fall into haram. He will fall into haram. Right? So in our deen, there are things that are very clear. And there are things that are in the middle. Right? And a lot of people like to leave the clear things and they go into the middle, right? And the Prophet ﷺ told us that if you go into these things, eventually what happens? You will fall into the haram. And the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, he gave a nice nice example. He says, Karra'i. Who's the ra'i? راعي الغنم, the shepherd, right? The shepherd, yeah. كالراعي, yeah. So it's like the shepherd that has his sheep, right? And so the shepherd, his job is to make sure that his sheep don't run off or don't go to the to by themselves, right? The wolf will eat them. And so the ra'i has a like an area that he shouldn't go to, yeah, right. So the Prophet ﷺ says it's like the ra'i who he's going with his sheep, right? And then there's an area he's not allowed to. These are hurumat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and so that ra'i, if he goes next to those limits, what happens to the sheep? Can he watch them all the time? Eventually, one of them is gonna what? Cross over, right? And they're gonna cross over to the other side. And so that's the example. And so as a Muslim, you should what? You should stay close to the shubuhat or stay away? Stay away. Because if you stay close to them, eventually you're gonna fall into haram. So when it says احفظِ الله, يعني follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This might be a question next week, and I was supposed to bring candy, but I forgot, but inshallah, bidnillah, next week I'll bring it. So how do you do that? You follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you stay away from the haram that he prohibited, and you stay away from the shubuhat, from the gray areas. طيب, جميل. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ تَعَالَى فَرَضَ فَرَائِدْ فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوهَا وَحَدَّ حُدُودًا فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَحَرَّمَ أَشْيَاءً فَلَا تَنْتَهِكُوهَا. This hadith kind of summarizes what we just said. He says, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down religious obligations, fara'id. These are things that you have to do. So do not neglect them. Do not neglect these fara'id. And he has set limits, so do not overstep them. He has forbidden something, so do not violate them. Exactly what we kind of just mentioned here. This hadith kind of summarizes. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's talking about the transaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with the believers, the transaction where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a transaction with the believers, right? What's the transaction? The believers, they give up their life and their wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them what? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them Jannah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing these believers, he said in the next ayah, they are التائبون. They are the ones who repent. التائبون العابدون. The ones who are always devoted to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hamidun, those who always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Sa'ihun, another word for those who fast. Al-Raki'un, those who bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Sajidun, those who prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Amiruna bil-Ma'ruf, those who command good. Wal-Nahuna anil-Munkar. And then what does he say? Wal-Hafidhuna li-Hududillah. And they are those who observe the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They take care of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not people who, yani, whenever it goes with their desires, yeah, they stay in the limits, and whenever it goes against their desires, they cross the limits. So they are وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ. And what's the reward? وَبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give good news to the believers. Jameed. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, هَذَا مَا تُوعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ, when Jannah is brought forward to the believers, it will be said to them, هَذَا مَا تُوعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. Right? This is what you were promised for every awwab, a person who turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَفِيظ. Right? From the word حِفظ. Right? And here, there's two tafsirs. حَفِيظ, meaning the one who, the meaning that we intend here, which means the one who takes care of and is mindful of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he follows the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stays away from the haram. Another meaning, hafiz, yani the one who's sinful and always takes care of his tawbah and istighfar, goes back and does istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says in the next ayah, man khashiya ar-rahmana bil-ghayb, and this is what kind of hints to the second meaning, man khashiya ar-rahmana bil-ghaybi wajaa biqalbin munib. He's the one that is in awe of the most compassionate without seeing him. So it can mean two things. This is the one who has fear and is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even though he can't see him. This is one meaning, man khashiya ar-rahmana bil-ghayb, the one who fears Allah and is mindful of Allah even though he can't see him, right? Because it's not easy, right? It's not easy, and that's part of our iman, is al-iman bil-ghayb, right? And another meaning is the one who is mindful of Allah when he's hidden, when nobody can see him. بالغيب, يعني when nobody can see him, he's still mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a high level of taqwa. And that's the one that really proves that a person has this mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's easy to be mindful in front of people. It's easy for me here to act righteous in front of you. But when nobody's looking and it's just me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's the true test of the person's taqwa. The person's taqwa. طيب. So now there are many things that we are supposed to preserve or be mindful of, right? And the thing that you're mindful of is something that you focus on and you take care of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a couple of them in the Quran. From the most important is what? What's the most important thing that we have to be mindful of? It tells us to preserve the salah. Who can think of one? Ahsan. Hafidhu ala salawati wa salatil wusta. In Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is interesting, this ayah, it's right on the top of the page, and it comes between the ayat of what? What's Allah talking about here? He's talking about one of the most difficult, I guess, experiences that an adult can go through, a married person can go through, which is what? At-talaq. Right? So, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a long section on at-talaq, right? And so, in the middle of the ayat of divorce, at-talaq, which is a very difficult thing for a person to go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَافِظُ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. Yeah, observe the 5 days of prayers, يعني, take care of them, preserve them. وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى, especially the middle prayer. Which one is the middle prayer? Huh? I heard Asr and? Ahsan. So there's two opinions. Naam, Ahsan. Inshallah, he just read it like last night. Jameel, so Salat al-Wusta, there's one opinion that says it's the Asr. And how do they get to that? Because if you take Fajr as the first one and Isha as the last one, then we have 5 prayers and the middle one is Asr. The second opinion is Fajr. And how did they get to that one? Huh? Jameel, because our day technically starts when? The Islamic day starts Maghrib, right? So in a few minutes, what's the date? Yeah, in a few minutes, technically the next day will start. Tamam? So in Maghrib time. So they said Maghrib is the first one, Isha is the second one, the third one would be what? Fajr. The third one would be Fajr. Wallahu a'lam, which one, it could be one or the other. The main thing is that you preserve your salat. And like I said, it's interesting, it came into the middle of the ayat al-talaq, meaning that this is going to help you actually get through these difficult times. Bi-idhnillah. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand in true devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayah, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ. This is a book that we have sent down, the Quran. It is mubarak. It is blessed. مصدق الذي بين يديه, okay, confirming what came before, the Torah and the Injil. ولتنذر أم القرى ومن حولها, and to warn the people of Mecca, أم القرى, يعني مكة, and those around it, يعني the other people. والذين يؤمنون بالآخرة يؤمنون به, and those who believe in the Akhirah, they believe in this book. وهم على صلاتهم يحافظون, and they are the people who preserve their salat, they guard their prayers, they take care of their prayers. When we say guard your prayers, what does it mean when I tell you guard your prayers? If I tell you, Fulan, goes to work from morning until whatever, till Maghrib, he comes back, and then he prays all his salawat. He prayed all of them. Would that be included in hafidh ala salawat? Would this be someone who hafidh ala salah? He prayed them all together at once at the end of the day? Tfaddal. So would this be included someone who's preserving his salahs? Like if I told you, someone who is very mindful and preserving of his studies, right? This is, and I would describe describe you, this is someone who always studies last minute. Would you say this is someone who preserves study? Is one who prays it on time. Prays it on time, of course, and prays all of them. طبعاً, unless he has a reason, a valid reason, right? But we're talking about the asl, the default. The default is that the person prays his salat, right, on time, right? إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. It has a prescribed time. Tamam? So the person should strive to pray it on time. And to do it properly, right? And to have wudu, proper wudu, and to have khushu' in the salah, right? There's different levels of hifz, right? That would be like the minimum, to pray them and to do them on time. طيب. The Prophet ﷺ says in a very beautiful hadith, he says, من حافظ عليها, عليها يعني what? The salah. Whoever preserves their salah, كانت له نورا. It will be for him a nur, yeah? وبرهانا, yeah? And a very strong light. وبرهانا ونجاة يوم القيامة, right? And it would be a salvation for him on the day of judgment. And of course, the day of judgment, what's one of the unique things about the day of judgment that makes it very scary and difficult? Huh? Is there gonna be light like this? It's gonna be darkness for everybody except those who had iman, right? And we get this from Surah Al-Hadid and other ayat, where the hypocrites and the believers are headed, yeah, are headed. Of course, the believers are looking for Jannah. The kuffar are already in the hellfire, and the hypocrites and the believers are headed to Jannah. They have to cross what? They have to cross the Sirat, yeah. And so the munafiqeen, they say, "Dharuna naqtabis min nurikum." Naqtabis, remember this, this is from the title of the book, Iqtibas. They said, wait for us so we can get some of your light. The munafiqeen have no light, right? They faked having light in this life while standing with the believers. But in reality, they had no belief inside. So because they had no belief, on the day of judgment, they will have no light. So they will ask the believers for light. So the Prophet is saying, whoever takes care of a salah, it will be nur for him. In another hadith, the Prophet says, بَشِّرِ الْمَشَّائِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ بِالنُّورِ التَّامَّةِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That give glad tidings to those people who walk in the darknesses. What does it mean by that? Good news to those people who walk in the darkness. Who walks in the darkness? Naam? Ahsant, barakallahu fiqh. Those who walk, yani who don't have to walk, you can drive, inshallah. Those who go to Fajr and Isha, a special reward for them, that they will get a bright light on the day of judgment, subhanallah. So here's what it's talking about. Yeah, Yawm al-Qiyamah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever doesn't preserve the prayers, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُور. So he will not get nur or light, and no salvation on the day of judgment. And he will be with who? مَعَ قَارُونَ وَفِرْعَونَ وَهَامَانَ وَأُبَيْ بْنُ خَلَفٍ. Like the worst people in history. If any, يعني, you cannot think of worse people in history than these people. And of course, where will these people be? في الدرك الأسفل, يعني, in the lowest, I always miss you. In the lowest place in Jahannam, subhanAllah. Right? So it's a very serious thing. Right? In the ayah in Surah Al-Muddathir, when the people of Jannah, they will say, they will look down and they will see some people they knew, right? In Jahannam, they'll say, like, why are you in the hellfire? What's their first response? قالوا لم نكن المصلين. Subhanallah. So they didn't take care of their prayer. Yeah? They didn't take care. The first thing they said, they didn't take care of their prayer. So hifz al-salah is like one of the most important things. Now, I want you to keep in mind of all these things because to these things. So that's the first, salah. Another thing we find in the hadith, especially, is taking care of your wudu. Right? Some version of our wudu. Sometimes, you know, we do wudu. Yeah, like I remember when we were kids, you know, we make wudu fajr, and then like we try we keep it till Isha, right? And your dad asks you like, you have wudu? You're like, yeah. But you think Maghrib, Asr. So when you're a kid, and sometimes, subhanAllah, adults do that. We're very negligent of our wudu. And we might have lost it, and we're like, who cares, whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghafur raheem. But the Prophet told us, istaqimu walan tuhsu. Try to be, yani, try to be as straight as possible. Try to stay on the straight path as much as possible, okay? Walan tuhsu, yani, you will never be able to be perfect. But you try to be the best, yeah? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And then he says, wa'lamu أن خير أعمالكم الصلاة. That the best of know that the best of your deeds is salah. And then he says ولا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. The person who takes care, يحافظ, the same word, who takes care of his wudu and preserves his wudu is a mu'min. And so part of iman is the person who takes care of his wudu. What's interesting about wudu is when we get up to pray maghrib hala in a few minutes, yeah, right? Can anybody tell if somebody doesn't have wudu? Can you tell? Like, is there a sign? Is there like a red button or a green button, green light? You can't, subhanAllah. فسبحانه it's something between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows about it. Yeah? You can you might think you can trick people, but you cannot trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when a person loses wudu and his nafs is saying what? Oh my God, I have to go downstairs and make wudu in cold water. Yeah? But he overcomes that and he makes wudu. What's that a sign of? Huh? It's a sign of iman. It's a sign of being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another beautiful hadith, Prophet says, this is to encourage people to يعني, keep doing your wudu, right? And what's something amazing about the wudu? The Prophet gave the analogy of the person who had a river outside his house and he washes himself 5 times a day. Would any dirt be left on him? Would any dirt be left on you? If you had a pool, yeah? If you had a swimming pool outside of your house, do you have a swimming pool outside your house? Inshallah, you'll have one. If you had a swimming pool, right, and you go there 5 times, will you be like, can someone call you dirty? No, khalas, you're clean, right? For the same thing with your wudu, right? Your wudu. And one of the things about the wudu, the Prophet says, Inna ummati yud'awna yawm al-qiyamah. My nation, the Prophet is saying, will be called yawm al-qiyamah, yud'awna yawm al-qiyamah, ghurran muhajjaleen min athari al-wudu. They will come on the day of judgment, يعني with bright faces, right, and bright hands on the day of judgment. Similar to the hadith that we mentioned, right? من آثار الوضوء, because of so much wudu they made. فمن استطاع منكم أن يطيل غرته فليفعل. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying what here? Whoever can extend his brightness, يعني keep doing his wudu. يعني and Abu Huraira, when he explained this hadith, he said that, you know, you make sure that you cover your limbs. You know, sometimes you make wudu and you, يعني, you didn't hit your elbow and you know you should hit your elbow because it should go to the elbow and you're like, whatever, right? But the person who appreciates this hadith will make sure, and so Abu Huraira would always go a bit extra to make sure he didn't miss. To make sure he didn't miss. So al-wudu. Ya salam, 20 minutes. طيب. I put a time here, so طيب, 20 minutes. So the next thing is al-ayman, right? Al-ayman. What's a yameen? Yameen? Yameen yasar? Yameen is right, yeah? What's yameen? Yeah, yameen is right. But when we say yameen, yeah? Yeah, al-half, yeah? Yeah, because he will say, يعني, he will use his right hand. طيب, so al-half, yeah? So when someone takes an oath, right? And so in Sharia, we have 3 kinds of oaths. We have يمين اللغو. لغو, يعني someone just says والله every 5 seconds, right? And it's not something that's recommended, but you like, you know, beautiful day. والله this, والله that, right? والله I saw him, right? لغو, right? And sometimes we say them without, we don't mean to take an oath. We don't mean to take an oath, right? It's something that is, it's not recommended, so it's better to stay away from it, but you don't have to fulfill that oath if you make an oath. Tamam? Then there's a deliberate oath where you say, you know, wallahi, you know, if the halaqah doesn't finish maghrib time, I'm not coming. Don't make that oath. Tamam? Right? So then you would have to, if you, يعني, you had the intention and you meant it, then you should never come back. طبعا, there's a mas'ala there. If there's a yameen you take, and there's no, you know, there's something haram in it or something that's not beneficial, then you should do the kafara and right? And what's the kafara? Naam? Naam, we're going to cover it, inshallah. So, and then there's yameen al-ghamus. Huh? Anybody heard of that before? Naam? Ishi yameen al-ghamus? Naam, يعني تغمس صاحبه بالنار. It's called yameen al-ghamus because like it will cause the one who does it to be entered into the fire. Al-ghams, يعني to put it right inside the fire. Lish, this is when someone he swears on something that he didn't do, that يعني, it's a lie basically. So basically, يعني, subhanAllah, this this happened, subhanAllah, once was in the kuliyah in Riyadh, and we were writing a test, and I saw someone cheating, right? فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, right? To change with his hands, or so I saw it. I'm like, man, I should tell the you know, regardless, snitch, no snitch. So I told the guy, he wouldn't listen. So then I went to the professor, and I wrote down on my paper. I finished my test, and I said, Fulan is cheating, right? Don't read it out loud. So he read it out loud. And so the guy heard him, he's like, and then he got upset, and then he said, Wallahi, I'm not cheating. I'm like, SubhanAllah, I saw you. He said, Wallahi, I'm not cheating. So this would be Yamin al-Ghamus, because you're swearing by Allah for something you know that's not true, right? Or if you steal something, you say, Wallahi, I didn't steal it, right? And so this is a Yamin that could send someone in the hellfire if he does not make tawbah. طبعاً Allah سبحانه says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, لا يؤخذ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا يؤخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. So Allah will not hold you accountable for your thoughtless oaths. We said اللغو, yeah, indeliberate ones, yeah. ولكن يؤخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. But He will take you account for the يمين that's مُعَقَّدَة, yeah, the one that's deliberate. You mean it, right? You mean that. So the penalty was the فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ. And so part of the hifz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when you make an oath, you fulfill it. And if you break it, you should do the kafara. You should do the kafara. How do you do the kafara? So it says here, فَإِطْعَامُهُ. So the penalty of the oath is to feed 10 poor people, right? مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ, right? So just something average that you would feed a person. I don't know, what's an average meal now? Yeah, I don't know, 15 bucks. So you feed 10 poor people. Yeah, من أوسط المأذون أو كسوتهم, or if you can't, you buy clothes for them in that amount. أو تحرير رقبة, right? أو تحرير رقبة, or you free a slave, and of course that's not an option these days. فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام, and so the three options, you have to do one of the three in the beginning. Then if you don't have those three, then you fast. Yeah. The 3 days. So it's not, you shouldn't go to the fasting before those three. It's important to note. So if you want to pay the kafara, you have to do one of those three options, or clothe, or free a slave. Okay. Then if you can't, and let's say you don't have money, you have debts, you cannot do that. Then you fast. فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ كَفَارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ. And preserve and take care of your oaths. وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that's the oaths. What else? In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, he was talking about al-istihya min Allah, right? Having like modesty and al-haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haya is one of those words that's hard to translate. And so they said, what does that mean? So the Prophet ﷺ says, الاستعمال من الله أن تحفظ الرأس وما وعى, that you protect, you guard your head and what it retains. يعني, what you're putting into your head. You know, like sometimes we're negligent. You know, we're like, oh, this is my body, do whatever you want. You know, like now, the philosophy now, postmodern philosophy, right, is that do whatever you feel like. يعني, your God is your feelings. This is why all these weird ideas come in these societies, because they go back to their feelings. Hatta not even the aql. This is like an old philosophy. Now, postmodernism is like, whatever you feel like is right. Halas. Tamam. So that's not how it works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an amana. Your head is an amana. So, أن تحفظ الرأس وما وعى. طيب. And then, والبطن وما حوى. And your internal body. And what it contains, tamam. And so this is also from being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about the head, we're talking about eyesight, صح, right? Like, you're not really being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're looking at haram. You're not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're listening to haram, and you sit down and you listen to ghibah and backbiting and insults about people, right? And you're not really being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you talk, when you swear, when you have profanity, when you say bad things, evil things. So that's all included.
That's all included. Yeah, and then the internal body, طبعاً, what you eat, right? What you eat, what you drink, that's all included. Because this is an iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more importantly, right? Your heart, right? The hadith that al-haramu bayin wal-halalu bayin. The second part of the hadith talks about what? The heart. Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha. In the heart, in the body, there is a mudgha. There's a what's a mudgha? Naam, like an organ, right, or a flesh. Naam, إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله. If it's fine, right, and it's good and it's safe from all these corruptions, then the whole body will be fine. Tamam. And so the most important thing, the ulama call it like it's the king of your body, the heart, right? And so we protect the heart from all these things. Interesting. The hadith mentioned the heart after it talked about al-haram wal-halal wal-mutashabih. Meaning, if you fall in these shubuhat, in these doubtful gray matters, then that's going to affect what? It's going to affect your body, but more importantly, your heart, right? Because it's talking about the heart. So it's going to affect your heart. And it's like a cycle, because once your heart is dark and it's full of sins, then what? You will, na'am? Na'am, you'll be evil, and it'll be easier for you to do more sins, and will you be mindful of Allah? You will not. صح? You will be less mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُفُ in Surah Al-Isra, I believe, chapter 17, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. That do not follow what you have no sure knowledge of. And don't just do whatever you feel like. Make sure you have knowledge of the thing. Why? Yani why do you don't just do things without thinking, without having ilm of it? Why? Because whatever you do, you're going to be asked about. Yeah, everything you do, you're going to be asked about. So then, as inna sama, inna sama, wal basara wal fuad, kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. So your hearing and your eyesight and your intellect, all of this you'll be asked about, right? What you see, right? What you say, all of those things, what you hear, all of them you'll be asked about, subhanAllah. So that's part of the hifdh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being mindful of Allah is protecting that. In another hadith, Rasulullah says, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنُ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever guarantees me what's between his lihyain, يعني, this is the lih, yeah, like his mouth, his tongue. Whoever guarantees this, and whatever is between his legs, and the private parts, then I will guarantee him Jannah. Look at that deal. Yeah, yani, literally the Prophet is saying, just stay away from the evil of the tongue, and stay away from the evil of the private parts, as zina and whatever goes with it, and then Jannah will be yours. It's something serious, yani, subhanAllah. Yeah? Whoever gives me a guarantee to safeguard what is between his jaws and what is between his legs, I shall guarantee him Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Right? وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. The same word, Al-Hifz. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, say to them, O Prophet, tell the believing men to lower their gaze and guard their chastity, yani to protect their private parts from haram. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Right? So is there a link here between غض البصر and protecting your chastity, your private parts? Is there a link here? What's the link? Naam? Ahsant. One leads to the other. And so the one who does not take care of his eyesight and he's always looking, right? Just whatever he sees, yani whatever. Whatever he likes, he looks, right? If he sees something haram, he looks at it again. Right? Then that will lead to what? It might lead to zina. Right? It might lead to zina. So wahfadu to preserve their body parts, their private parts. Afwan. And then there's another ayah for the believing woman. صح? وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Also for the woman. Right? It's not just for the men. طيب. So now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, احفظِ الله, the Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas that احفظِ الله, طيب, what will you get in return? احفظِ الله يحفظك. Okay? So here you have a shart and jawab al-shart. يعني if you preserve Allah and you protect the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's the return? It's conditional, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. And if Allah is your protector, do you need anybody else? You don't need. أليس الله كافٍ عبده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough protector for you, right? And so this is a very beautiful law in our Sharia, and the ulama mentioned it, and it's agreed upon that al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, right? The reward you get is according to what the deed that you do. It's proportional, yeah. It's correlated to the deed that you do. So input output. يعني if you do good, you will get good, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. يعني this you find this in many places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in many times, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي وَفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ. Yeah? So honor my contract. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to who? Who's he talking to? But to us, yes, but who specifically in this ayah? Bani Israel. If you open the Quran, yeah, literally right after a few pages, the whole juz' is about Bani Israel. The whole juz'. And the whole issue was what? Allah said, just honor the contract and I will, يعني you'll be successful. وفي بعهدكم. Did they honor the contract? No, right? And for us, and this is a lesson for us, of course, right? That same concept here. If you honor the ahad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in a hadith of Ibn Mu'ad, Ibn Mas'ud Afwan, the Prophet says, do you know what the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the rights of the ibad upon Allah is? He said, no, he said that if they worship Him and they don't associate partners, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them Jannah, subhanAllah. It's the same concept, right? In another ayah, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will what? Remember you, right? In another ayah, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help in the victory of His deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And so on, there's so many ayat. طيب, question here. Is the opposite true as well? يعني it says, احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكُ. Yeah, يعني if you be mindful of Allah and He'll protect you. طيب, does it also mean that if you're not mindful of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not protect you? So in Sharia they call this مفهوم المخالفة, right? And some ulama say this is يعني it has conditions to be accepted. But you see that is true, subhanAllah. You see that this is true. And inshallah, if we have time this time or next week, we'll cover some of the ayat that prove that, right? One of the early Muslims, he said, when I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I sense its effects in the bad attitude of my slave and donkey. And he's saying, sometimes like my wife or my, my sheep or my animals, they misbehave. And I know it's because of what? Because of it's a sin that I have made. Yani because I wasn't mindful of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this caused them to react with me like that. And there's many subhanAllah, many narrations like that from other ulama. طيب. جميل. So what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, احفظ الله, be mindful of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your worldly affairs and your deen. Yeah, because we need both of them. Yeah. يعني what's the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting your wealth, your children, your money, and then you lose your deen? How many people, they're born Muslims and then they go to sleep as non-Muslims? How many people, they're born, they wake up, did I say born? I meant wake up. How many people wake up and they pray and then all of a sudden they start getting doubts and then they stop praying? How many sisters are wearing hijab, then they leave their hijab? And so this is, right, and we're scared for our children to send them into the schools, to mix in this society, right? So part of that goes back to this, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only protect your worldly affairs, your wealth, your house, your money, your children, but also your deen. But also your deen. So when we talk about the dunya, right? Your body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your body, your children, your wealth, right? And then your religion. طيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ra'd, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Believe it or not, you have angels, believe it or not, you have angels that are there to protect you. Their job is just to protect you. And you don't know how many evils were coming your way and they pushed it away from you. يعني سبحان الله, we don't know that, and يعني that deserves a shukr to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. يعني to thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for the things that we don't know that were going to happen to us, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى protected us from. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى has these angels يحفظونه من أمر الله, right, from these evil things, right? Unless it's something that is written on the qadr, then the angels cannot do anything about it. So then Allah سبحانه says, إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. The famous ayah, and our conference is based on this ayah, our one Ummah conference. It's interesting here. Why did Allah سبحانه وتعالى put this ayah? This له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. And subhanAllah, you can kind of, if you look at يعني from a macro view, the state of the ummah, yeah. And this is what I was saying about understanding the hadith in the opposite way. يعني when the ummah was not mindful of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happened? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stripped away the power and the authority, right? And the khilafah from the Muslims. You can understand this hadith like that, yeah? And so how would you get that khilafah and that authority and that izzah and that victory back? How? By being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? By preserving the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Muslims were to do that, right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a victory. I think it's adhan time, right? Tab, we're almost done. Aisha radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anha, she sent a message to Muawiyah when he was in charge. He says, she said to him, if you fear Allah, He will suffice you against people. But if you fear people, they will not avail you against Allah in the slightest. She's reminding him that, يعني you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from others, then you have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you against others. Where did she get this from? From the ayah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The whole concept of this hadith, احفظ الله يحفظك, basically it's taqwa. It's to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's to be conscious of Allah. And so when you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a way out. Aisha said, this means Allah will suffice him against the troubles and worries of the world. Any issue that you have, Allah will take care of that for you. What's the condition? At-taqwa, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can understand it in another way. So if you're going through a difficult time, financially, physically, emotionally, marriage, whatever it is, what would be one thing that will help you get through that? It's right in this ayah. To have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you increase the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, احفظ الله يحفظك. This is qa'idah. This is a rule that we take. And I think probably we should stop here.